the second stanza, we sang, "Sweeter are thy words to me than all other good can be." Of course, that's quite something to say, isn't it? Sweeter is the word of God to me than all other good. And that's something we want to consider in the sermon this afternoon. First of all, please, if you would turn to Lord's Day 49 in this Forms and Confessions book. You'll find that on page 54. Again, we are continuing to consider the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And we come now to the third request. And the question is, what does the third request mean? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, "Help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven." Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. Page 889. Our text will be verse 34 of John 4. I want to say a little bit about the context within the sermon, and then we'll come to verse 34 in just a few moments. So just keep that open before you, and we will read those words shortly. The congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, soon after arriving in Christchurch, just about 8 years ago, we discovered Bush Inn Shopping Centre. And Bush Inn Shopping Centre was busy pretty much every time you went there. There weren't really any spare car parks. And so it was to my surprise and amazement that a year ago or a year and a half ago, I saw that they'd carved off a whole lot of the car park space and put up some more buildings. And of course, each of those buildings is a restaurant, a place where they sell food. And that, of course, brings more people to the shopping centre, but now there are less car parks. And I thought that was quite bizarre, until I saw in the newspaper that the other day that they're going to connect the Smith City building to the liquor place out the front, and they're going to turn that into a new selection of food places, and there will be even less car parks at Bush Inn Shopping Centre. What this tells us is that we are becoming very, very interested in food. And of course, this has a lot to do with luxury, the kinds of things we're seeing on our television screens, and more refined tastes and diets. But the reality is that we do need food. We do need to eat, because if we don't, we will die. And indeed, that is why one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." We recognize that we need to ask the Lord to provide us with daily food. But that's not the petition of the Lord's Prayer that is before us this afternoon. The one before us today is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we heard in the catechism answer, the reference to heaven points us to the example of the angels who do the will of God instantly and completely. We're not going to consider the example of the angels today. We want to consider the example of him by whom the angels were created, the Lord Jesus. We do this because he also shared our human nature, tempted in every way as we are. He knew what it was like to be in pain and to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be hurt and disappointed by others. He knew what it is like to be tempted to sin. So, to help us to understand this petition of the Lord's Prayer, We see in John 4, verse 34, that the Lord Jesus equates obedience with food. The Lord Jesus equates obedience with food. Now, in this chapter, the Lord Jesus has an extended conversation with a woman from Samaria. And the Jewish people did not get on with the Samaritans, to put it lightly. Now, the two peoples despised each other. Now, verse 8 tells us of John 4 that Jesus had sent the disciples away to get food. But as you drop down to verse 27, you'll see that the disciples have come back and they are amazed that Jesus is talking to her because she is a woman and a Samaritan woman at that. But she has left Jesus and she's gone into her town and she's told all of the people there about the amazing things that Jesus has told her about herself, and so she's coming back to Jesus with all of the people of the town. In the meantime, though, as you look at verse 31, you will see that the disciples are trying to get Jesus to eat some of the food that they have brought with them. But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And that was a logical conclusion for them to make. He had sent them off to buy food. They've come back and he is telling them, "I've got food." So they're wondering, "Well, who brought it to you?" But Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." So let's take some time to consider his response as we ask two questions. First, what is the food of the Lord Jesus? And then secondly, is the Lord Jesus' food my food? So first of all, what is the Lord Jesus' food? And let's quickly begin by noting what the Lord Jesus' food is not. And to start with, even though it might be stating the obvious, it is quite clear that the Lord Jesus is not talking about literal food here. He's using figurative language. Jesus did not survive on a diet of obedience. Jesus needed bread and cheese, etc., just like you and I do. So the Lord Jesus' food in this verse is not actual food. But note also that the Lord Jesus' food is not doing his own will. For he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." And the him that he is referring to here is his Father in heaven, as we shall see in a moment. The Lord Jesus' food is not doing his own will. In Isaiah 14, we encounter words that are written about the king of Babylon, but also about Satan. Satan was originally a good angel, but Satan fell, and he was cast out of heaven together with the other evil angels. And Isaiah 14 is one of the places in the Bible that teaches us these things about Satan. But just note the emphasis on the sin of Satan that led to him being cast out. We read from Isaiah 14, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" What are we hearing again and again there? I will. I want to do what I want to do. I will what I will. I do not want to do what God wants me to do. I will. And that stands in stark contrast, doesn't it, to what the Lord Jesus says in this verse. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. So as we switch our focus now to what the food of the Lord Jesus is, which is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work, turn over a page or two to John 6, verse 37. John 6, verse 37. Well, here Jesus takes up very similar language about doing the will of His Father and what that will is. So John 6, from verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And in effect, what we have is the gospel in just these few short verses. Before the creation of the world, the Father chose some from the mass of fallen humanity to be the bride of Christ that would spend eternity with Christ in heaven. And then the Father gave the Lord Jesus His instructions, if you will. He said, go down to earth, be born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, live a life of temptation all day and every day, but live a life of perfection. And then take the guilt of all the sins of my chosen people on your shoulders, and go to the cross of Calvary. And there I will pour out my fierce anger on you, and you will die. But I will raise you up on the third day, and all who believe in you shall have eternal life. Now go and do this, my son. This is my will for you. And so Jesus came to earth to do the will of His Father in heaven. And note that this included knowing what His Father's will is and the doing of His Father's will. He knew He had to go to the cross, and He went to the cross. His food was complete obedience. Just as He needed bread and water, so He needed to do what His Father had willed for Him to do. Praise God that He did. So the Lord Jesus' food was to know the will of His Father in heaven and to do what His Father required Him to do. Well, Jesus commanded us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, His food should be our food. But is it? Is the Lord Jesus' food your food? Well, to answer that question, we need to know what God's will is for us, don't we? And that is why God has given us the Bible. He wants us to know His will, and so He's given us this book, the Old and the New Testament, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find His will in the commands that are contained throughout Scripture. And of course, if we think back to what the Lord Jesus said about the Father's will, chief amongst all of the commands that the Father has given in this book is the one we find, for example, in 1 John 3:23, where it says, here is His command, to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. A number of our brothers and sisters are in hospital or have been at present. And when you are in hospital and you're in a pretty bad way and you can't eat for yourself, they put in an intravenous drip. And with that intravenous drip, they provide you with the absolute most essential nutrients that you need to survive. Well, belief in the Lord Jesus is the essential food for eternal life. John 3:16, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. So, in relation to obeying this command, is the Lord Jesus' food your food? Have you obeyed this command of God, which is to believe in Jesus Christ? And if you have, do you see that to pray the petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," requires you to tell people about this command? You cannot ask God that people might obey this command and then not tell them what the command is yourself. Praying this petition requires that we tell people the gospel. The food of the Lord Jesus was to do His Father's will. The Father's will for you is that you tell people to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, before we move on and say anything more, I want to make one thing crystal clear. You receive eternal life by believing in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. It is not a reward. It is God's free gift of grace. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. Full stop. But to all of us who claim to believe in the Lord Jesus, there is more that needs to be said about God's revealed will and whether or not the food of the Lord Jesus is our food. And this is because Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of My Father in heaven." Now, as we've seen, chief of the commands that reveal the will of the Father in heaven is to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can add to this also the Ten Commandments. We can add to this the words of Ephesians, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak the truth. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And among you there must not be even the hint of sexual immorality. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In the words of 1 Peter 1:16, for example, where God says, "Be holy, as I am holy." It is impossible for one who has truly believed in the Lord Jesus to care nothing at all about obedience to all the commands of God. A true believer will be eager to do what God commands. Turn over with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, page 1011, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. To just hear God's will and to know it is not enough. We must be those who do God's will. And we have an illustration of this from our earlier reading about the widow of Zarephath. There she was, having just met Elijah, and he gives her this command to go and make her a cake of bread before she feeds her son and herself, and she explains to him that she's only got enough left for the two of them, and then they die. And Elijah says, no, me first. Make some bread for me. Don't worry, your oil and your flour will last for the time of the drought. Elijah demanded complete obedience. And we read, she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. Now, do you think her story is in the Bible so that we might imitate her hearing? Do you think we're supposed to read that story and go, wow, that widow, she knew exactly what Elijah was on about. She understood him completely. No, we are to imitate the widow and be those who hear and do. Those saved by God's grace in Christ Jesus are eager to do God's will. And so when we pray, our Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we open the pages of our Bible and we find commands against adultery and against lying and requiring us to observe the Lord's day and to honor our parents and against greed and gossip and requiring love and a willingness to help the poor and the needy. And by good and necessary deduction, we learn that we are to attend worship services and Bible studies and to volunteer to teach in this class or to clean the church or serve in office, etc. We must be eager to do. Eager to do. We must be like the widow of Zarephath, who was like the Lord Jesus, in that she considered her food obedience to the revealed word of God. The reality, though, is that we can often be like the little girl who had a very rich grandmother. Christmas time came along, and because her grandmother was well off, the little girl was thinking about smartphones and cameras and things like this. So she got her present from her grandmother and she carefully opened it to discover an embroidered pincushion. Now this pincushion was exactly like the one that grandmother had received from her grandmother. So she had made this by hand and she had given it to her granddaughter. But of course, living in 2016, the little girl didn't think that much of embroidered pincushions. Nevertheless, she was a polite girl. So she wrote a letter to her grandmother. She said, "Dear grandmother, thank you for the pincushion. I have always wanted a pincushion, but not very much." Are you like that little girl, perhaps, when it comes to God's will? Does your commitment to obey God's commands really amount to a letter to God? Thank you, Lord, for having a will for my life. I have always wanted your will for my life, but not very much. You see, if that had been the attitude of the Lord Jesus, we would have been lost and without hope. But that was not his attitude, was it? He counted obedience to God's will his food. And because of this, you have salvation, and it is 100% secure. You read it earlier where Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Well, the will of God is obedience to his commands and perseverance in those things that the Lord has called you to do. So may the food of the Lord Jesus be your food as well. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the food of the Lord Jesus be our food. May we busy ourselves with total obedience, because we recognize that in the Lord Jesus we have total salvation. Help us in this, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing number 475.